Chris Persiainen from Clutch Points. Hey, Chris, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. What's going on? It's exciting. It's definitely hot, but exciting to be here in Las Vegas. Year two for me. So
that's excellent.
I actually know where I'm going this time.
Yeah, Vegas in the summer is definitely, you know, people always talk about when you go out west, well, it's a dry heat, but my feeling is like the inside of a pizza oven is also a dry heat, but not someplace I want to be. So it's hot in Vegas in the summer. Let's start with the Knicks. And I know there are a lot of people who can look at it and say, oh, summer league, it's a waste of time and all of that. But if people don't want to spend all their time watching games, I get it. There still are some interesting things to be gleaned from a developmental standpoint. So let's talk Knicks, and you know, whether it's Mo Diawara, Pacome Dadier, and then we'll get to some of the to the rookies. Those two are the two players from the regular Knicks roster who are playing there this summer. What are you seeing from those two? Is there anything? I know maybe Diawara has been underwhelming. Anything you can take away from what you've seen so far?
Yeah, absolutely, Lori. I mean, I think you said it when you started it out here. The medium is the message, and these are summer league games. You have to take them for what they are, which is an opportunity to see these players suit up in the colors of their franchise and make decisions on a basketball court. Now, are they doing it against the guys they'll be playing against in the regular season? Are the guys doing it, guys that will be playing in the regular season? Maybe not, and probably not. That said, Pacome and Mo, I think pretty much it's a stark difference between the two of their plays thus far. And frankly, I would say it's easy to explain. Mo Diawara just got an extension, knows that a championship winning team feels that it's worth paying him to keep him around with what they want to do, which is win more championships. It might be not exactly the biggest priority or concern in his head to be putting his body completely on the line or to be making the absolute best decision every time. The other side of it, and this is something I've definitely, this is not speculation. Like, I've talked to Knicks coaches out here and coaches from other teams as well that are all in agreement that summer league is the time to overextend players, to make them uncomfortable, not just to see what they're capable of on the court, but how they respond between the ears. What kind of mental adversity can they not only withstand, but persevere through and thrive in the face of? For Mo Diawara, maybe that that part of the equation comes into effect now. You know, hey, people are saying that you're coasting a little bit. Come out and show that you really want it. I know last game against the San Antonio Spurs, the Knicks struggled to score 50 points, which means anyone at home struggled to see any positives in that game. But that established, Mo did make some good decisions driving into the paint and kicking out. You just wanted to see a little more defensive intensity. On the other end of the spectrum is Pacome Dadier, who, yes, is part of a championship-winning Knicks team, but knows that with every dribble, he's fighting for his future on the squad. I think he knew the key to Mike Brown's heart, Lori. This was a man who knew what he was after. He was cutting off the ball, slicing the opposing defenses without anything to do with dribbling, just making good use of the spacing on the court. I'm sure even right now as I speak, Mike Brown, we know he doesn't listen to any outside noise, but I just said the word spacing. I think one of his ears just started itching a little bit. That's what Pacome Dadier knows is the way to his heart. So you saw Pacome really hungry and doing what it takes to leave a lasting impression. Mo, fortunately, left a little bit of a negative impression. That said, I think Knicks fans were ecstatic around the clock for 24 hours when they signed him to that deal. Yeah. So I think maybe he was ecstatic too, and you'll see him play much better maybe in the rest of Summer League, and if not, at least in the regular season. There are guys that want to play hungry and hard, and then they'll get a chance to. You saw Tyler Nickel move into the starting lineup, so the Knicks coach is clearly not afraid to ride the hot hand here either.
So let's go there. Tyler Nickel, Knicks had 2 second-round draft picks. They're both playing in Summer League this summer. Tyler Nickel out of Vanderbilt, and let's start there. What's the most, well, number one, what have you seen from him, and what's the most likely outcome? Is it a two-way contract, or what do you expect from him?
Yeah, so, Lori, I think what's the most important thing to note is the most impressive thing from Nickel is what I haven't seen from him, which is him getting completely just – beaten and crushed on defense by bigger, more physical defenders. The compete level is really high for him. The effort level is really high. And frankly, he just doesn't let you know as an offensive player that you have an easy bucket. You might decide you have one, you might go score one, but you're never going to get that indication from him as a defender. That's just motor. That's just compete level. And that's all you can ask for, right? So Knicks coach is definitely happy with him to start. And then the offensive side, the jump shots out of his hands before you see him catch the ball.
So for people who haven't been tuning in, if you missed it and you were sort of like, yeah, why are the Knicks trading down a million times and why are they taking this guy? For people who have missed it, 6'7", 6'7", 6'8.5" wingspan, and the quick release and the three-point shooting seem absolutely to be something that will play in the NBA. I guess the question for Tyler Nickel was, can he be enough of a defender that you can keep him on the court? From what you're seeing, could you envision, obviously the Knicks have a rotation somewhat set. It's hard to crack that rotation, but could you see a role as soon as this season for a player like Tyler Nickel?
Not a consistent one, but Lori, this is professional sports and injuries happen whether teams like it or not. In an era with the second apron, depth is of the utmost importance. And, drafting is even more important now for front offices with the second apron, because not only do you have to find good players and then develop them and retain them, you have to also be faced with the reality that you cannot afford to retain them and you have to replace them with a late first round draft pick. The New York Knicks, every time the draft comes around, they call up their landlord and they say, hey, I'd like you to raise my rent. It will motivate me to work harder this month. They trade back at least 20 spots every time and still find someone that's an absolute stud. I don't know how they do it, but I know who they do it. It's Walt Perrin, the scout that drafted Rudy Gobert at number 27 overall in Utah. It's Brock Allard, the guy who was in charge of the Cleveland Cavaliers cap sheet until they brought him over. I know he was a big fan of Jericho Sims and Ariel Hakporti. So everyone's got a hand in the Knicks draft process. And this year they wind up with Tyler Nickel, like you said, out of Vanderbilt. The jump shot is a marvel, truly. The defense is the question so far. He's not playing against NBA stars, but he's playing against NBA-level bodies, and he's holding up. Right. When it comes to Jack Kyle, the other rookie, I'm having a blast watching him, too, I got to tell you.
Yeah, so tell me, so he's the one, for people who didn't see, but he's out of Germany. There's a question of whether he will be a draft and stash, and from a budget standpoint, a roster crunch standpoint, the Knicks may keep him have him, play in Europe for another year. When you say you're having a blast watching him, give us one characteristic that's been fun.
It has to be his shot selection. I think, Lori, when you hear a German, even just generally a European basketball player, particularly a young one, you're thinking of someone who, they teach them to pass out there and they teach them to share the rock. Jack Kyle must have been in like an English immersion program where he was doing American schooling out there, because he was shooting from 30 feet out. And for a European player who has such potential as a connective force, as a passer, a good decision maker with the basketball, to see him be like, oh, we're struggling to score, I'll just shoot from 28 feet. We'll see if this goes in. And then make two of them. I was, laughing almost at the fact that he was making these shots.
All right. I don't have much more time, but before I let you go, let's turn it and pivot to the Nets. And big picture, what for Nets fans who have, obviously, it has been a bleak and bad time for a number of years, but it feels like there's a little bit of a glimmer with a couple of very young players. What are you seeing in summer league?
Evan Roberts, I'm so sorry, but Darius Acuff Jr., he's playing right now. He played earlier. Just poor decision-making, poor defense. He was falling down after shots, not getting up, and then walking back on defense.
Maybe the Nets got it right.
The Nets, meanwhile, have these kids out there running, sharing the ball, dunking, crossing over. I got a video of Mykael Brown doing a crossover in his first game. He almost juked my camera out of my hands. I lost him in the video. It's not a very good video, but it's a video. And I think they have young guys that fit with each other. I've been joking, you know, the Knicks had the we here season. They're going to have the they're there season where they don't exactly make the fourth seed, but I can see them productively losing. That's a good sign for the Nets.
Mm-hmm. And last one on the Nets then, because I know you are someone who has leaned in more on the Knicks over the last couple of years, but in bringing in Julius Randle, do you recognize a blueprint from the Knicks? I am not predicting in any way that the Nets are going to win a championship in 6 years. So to be super clear, I am not suggesting that. But is there something they're doing here of maybe raising the floor of having Randle plus some of these young guys where you can see a path to competence?
There's just a fact of the matter in the NBA is defenses are going to try and make life difficult for the best player on the other team. When you are trying to develop young players, if one of them is the best player, they're not going to be able to develop very well. They're going to struggle. With Randle taking defensive attention off of all the Nets young guys, you can see Jaeger Gelman thrive as a connector, as a three-point shooter. You can see Mykael Brown Jr. thrive as a paint-touch prodigy, as someone who just produces layups, whether it's for himself or his teammates. I'm excited for this Nets young core. And listen, having someone like Julius Randle in the building, and this might not be as exciting for Nets fans, but he can also help you learn which young players maybe won't be able to stick around, because he does bring a level of competition, a level of competence to the table where, say, one of the young guys just really doesn't seem to fit in the rotation anymore now that the expectations are higher. Unfortunately, that's a lesson you did want to learn. It's kind of like the $20 thing in Bronx Tale. You know, I guess you figure it out earlier, better than later.
Yep. I think there's at least a path. All right, Chris, really enjoy your time out there and keep up the good work with the coverage for Clutch Points, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Sounds like a plan. Lori, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate you.